Lord, we invite you into this time. We ask that you would remove the distractions from our hearts and our minds, myself included, Lord. Help us to honor you, to follow you, to listen to what your Holy Spirit is saying to us today. We pray that our hearts would be malleable in your hands as we entrust ourselves fully to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week we talked about submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. And we talked about that in relationship to forgiveness and relationships with one another and conflict and that sort of thing. And this week we're going to look more closely at that word submit. That's not a word that we usually like too much. Fiercely independent spirits we New Englanders tend to have. And to submit to anybody is sometimes a challenge. Sometimes we don't even like to accept help from people. We certainly don't want to submit to one another. And we might entertain the idea of submitting to Almighty God because God is almighty anyways. And what are we going to really do about it? But we can still hold on to things in our lives and not submit them to God. But the life of a Christian is really to be lived in submission to God. And anything short of that is going to be pretty tough. You know, this example here, these things, these bracken and thorns and stuff could be here because we haven't surrendered them to the Lord yet. We're still holding on to them. We're still clinging to this because for some reason we think we need it, or we think it's beautiful, or we think we can't get rid of it. So there was this officer in the Navy, and he had always wanted to command a battleship. It was his dream to command a battleship. And he finally got that dream, and he was given commission of the newest, most technologically up-to-date, most awesome ship in the fleet. And this one stormy night, he's plowing through the seas, and the captain is on duty at the bridge, and off the port, he spots this strange light, and it's rapidly closing in on his vessel. And he immediately orders the signalman to flash the message to this unidentified craft, "Alter your course 10 degrees south." And in just a moment came the reply, "Alter your course 10 degrees north." And determined that his ship would not take a back seat to this other person, the captain snaps out the order to be sent, "Alter course 10 degrees, I am the captain." And then the response beams back, "Alter your course 10 degrees, I am Seaman Third Class Jones." Now the captain is totally infuriated. He grabs the signal light himself with his own hands and he fires off, "Alter course, I am a battleship." And the reply comes back, "Alter your course, I am a lighthouse." Some of you knew where that was going. Captain had better change course, right? If he doesn't change course, he's going to have a horrible consequence. His ship is going to end up on the rocks, possibly sink. What an embarrassment. What a mess. None of us, I don't think any of us have commanded a battleship. If you have, I want to talk with you because that's awesome. but it's a common scenario to us. We try to control everything in our lives and drive our own ship, drive our own boat. And it's the struggle that we have with God. You know, and sometimes we're trying to tell God what to do in our lives and we don't realize we're playing chicken with a lighthouse. It's not going to move. If we don't surrender to God's love, to God's guidance, to principles of Holy Scripture, we run into these obstacles that can sink us. And it's way better to surrender to God's ways, to allow Him to direct our paths, to allow Him to have full sway in our hearts. So I want to take a closer look at James today. If you want to turn there in your program, you can. If you want to look it up on your phone or turn there in the Bible, that's fine. For James, surrender equals wisdom. There are fruits of not surrendering that he clearly lists out in Scripture today. And it's kind of what we did with the kids earlier. Bitter envy, selfish ambition, boastful, lies, wickedness of every kind, just in case we didn't cover it in those first four, hypocrisy, conflicts, disputes, even murder, James lists. If the Spirit of God does not hold sway in our hearts, that's where we end up. Contrasts that very clearly and directly with the fruits of submission to the Holy Spirit. Gentleness, wisdom, purity, peaceable, willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruit, tranquility, no trace of hypocrisy, partiality, harvest of righteousness. No gray area. What do we want to bear in our lives? What fruit do we really, in our heart of hearts, want? Can we generate that good fruit on our own? No. It takes the work of Christ on the cross and the fruit of the Holy Spirit to bring that about in our lives. Scripture tells us we reap what we sow. We can sow to the flesh and reap the fruits of that planting, or we can sow to the Spirit and reap the beauty, peace, and righteousness of that planting. That word, submission. Where else do we see submission in Scripture? There's that verse that modern society doesn't tend to like. You know, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her in offering and sacrifice. It's a mutual love. It's a mutual respect that occurs there. Proverbs today, American Heritage Girls, if you look on their flag, they're Troop 3130 here in Brownsville, Vermont. And where did we get 3130? It's right from here, right from the Proverbs. A woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. An example of a woman who submits to the Lord, who fears or honors or respects the Lord. It's a beautiful snapshot of a life being lived in submission to the Lord and in his fear and honor. It's not supposed to be a fear of terror. It's a fear of a holy God that's looking at us and looking back at the holy God and realizing our sinfulness and our need for a Savior and our need to submit. So to surrender everything to God, to submit to God, means to place in the hands of God all of our best efforts, all of our will, all that we have goes under his lordship. Going back to the relationship between husband and wife, oftentimes there is a part of the vows, either in the vows or at the exchange of the rings, I give you this ring as a token of my vow. With all that I am and all that I have, I honor you. That is a lot. Can we ever live up to that without the help of the Lord? No. Obviously not. That's why marriages that are without God see such a high rate of coming apart. It's really that three-stranded cord that is not easily broken that needs to happen in marriage. And it's that submission to God, that submission of our will, that enables relationships to be healthy, whether it's in a marriage relationship or with friends or in a church. And so, as we think about submission and surrender, we need to take our marriages and place them in God's hands, saying, I surrender all of my marriage into your hands. Take it, Lord. Bless it. Let this marriage bring you glory. Or how about raising kids? I fail at that a lot. Lord, take my ability to raise children, and I give it to you. I need your wisdom. I can't do it without you, Lord. How about your career? God, take my career. It's no longer about me. It's about you. It's for your honor and glory. Use me in whatever capacity you have me in, Lord. How about our houses? Lord, take my house. Use it. How can I bless your kingdom with this house? How can I use everything that you've given to me? You know, in the same way, we can surrender our car. We can surrender our money. We can surrender everything in our lives to the Lord, because if we're following Jesus, it's a gift from him. Remember that quote I started at the beginning with from Dallas Willard, talking about living into the kingdom? Right? The kingdom of God starts in our hearts when we receive Jesus Christ. You're going to eternally be with God from that moment forward. It doesn't start after you die. You're living into that eternity now. And as such, shouldn't we surrender what we've got, what we think we have, and honor the Lord with it? So we have this struggle, right, that the captain had with, Seaman Third Class Jones, playing chicken with the lighthouse. We have this struggle with God. Left to our own devices, we want to be God. We want to be on the thrones of our hearts. And when we do that, we end up like this. Even some flowers that we might try to plant on our own just die. They shrivel up, they turn brown, and they end up looking like this. But when we surrender and we decide who will be the God of my life, who calls the shots, who actually sits on the throne, who really makes the decisions, it will absolutely change us. Anybody remember 1896? It was a good year.
Well, yeah.
Okay. So, a guy by the name of Judson Deventer. Anybody know that name? Famous. No, not really, but no. He wrote the hymn, I Surrender All. Do you know that hymn? Maybe? Yeah, so here's what he said as he struggled to give total control of his life to Jesus Christ. And this is quoting him. He said, "For some time I had struggled between developing my talents in the field of art and going into full-time evangelistic work. At last, the pivotal hour of my life came, and I surrendered all. A new day was ushered into my life. I became an evangelist and discovered down deep in my soul a talent hitherto unknown to me. God had hidden a song in my heart and a touching, tender chord that he caused me to sing." And he writes this hymn out of that encounter with God, where he realized that he needed to surrender everything in his life to the Lord. In a minute, we're going to sing that. And if you've sung it your whole life, I invite you to just take a look at those words again as you sing and see what this hymn writer went through, and see if you can find some parallels in your own life for how you relate to God. So what are we holding on to and not submitting to God? Is it our house, our career, our marriage, our children, perhaps our position in the church? Is it a sin that we love and hate but we keep going back to? Are we not surrendering our fear of failure, fear of stepping out in faith, fear of losing our control to the Holy Spirit? Do you feel far from God? When is the last time you knew his presence? This last verse of the James reading is for us today. The second to last verse says, "Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee." And then the last verse of what we read says this, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." So we're going to sing this hymn that this hymn writer wrote back in 1896. And it's my prayer that as we sing it, the Lord would be speaking to us and inviting us to let go of things, draw near to the Lord, and allow him to draw near to us.